Okay, so this is Maxim's question. So Maxim, the question is Ram and Ilchas Avos Kachavim Perik Beis says like this. V'lo Avos Kachavim Bovadu she'asa la'hafna sacharah v'machshava la kol machshava shu gorem la adam lakar ikar me'ikra atar muzharan anashlola halosa libeinu v'lo nasiach daitenu lakach v'nachsho v'nimshach achahiruri alev. Okay, Nesh Daitel Shalom Katsorov, local of the Yachon Lahasig Hamas Aburya. Then Yimoshech Kolod Macha Machshavas Libo, Nimsa Machavas Olam, Lefi Kotza Daito. Ketza. Pomim Yosur, Achavars Kochov, Pomim Yachshav, Vichrabore, Shemba Ushemeno, Mala 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 Mata Mala Fana Malacha. Upom Benavur, Shemma Yemes, Shemma Yeno. Upom Batar, Shemma Mehiman Shemaim, Shemma Eno Shemaim. Okay, Eno, Shemma Eno. The Eno, okay. So what does it mean? So the question, so Maxim's question is circular, because if the guy is thinking, what are you telling the guy? You're saying, don't think that what? Don't think that Torah is not Minashamayim, but if he thinks Torah is not Minashamayim, so then there's no Torah, so there's no reason why he can't think that way. It's a circular circular kind of reasoning. Alright? You understand it? You can't tell a person, don't think Torah is not Min HaShemayim. Because insofar as he thinks Torah is not Min HaShemayim, you can't tell him don't think it because there's no Issa. Okay, that's the question. It's a circular reason. Whether Torah... Alright. Anyone that's Megidole Chachme Yisrael knows Torah is Min HaShemayim every day when he learns it. He knows that he sees this is something which cannot be made by man. I mean, it's an impossibility. So Achaz up the course is very hard for us to figure out what exactly it was. I mean, it's a difficult thing. Because he definitely believed in Tamar HaShemayim, there's no question about it. So if the person believed in Tamar HaShemayim, so then what... the problem is the Rambam introduced that last case. If he didn't introduce that one, everything would be fine. But once you have Tamar HaShemayim, say, okay, so you shouldn't think about Avodas Kochavim, fine. You shouldn't think about Malamayla, Malamata, Malafonim, you shouldn't think about Shor Nevi'im, because you have a basis. You have Torah, Chamisha Chumshi Torah, Torah's Moshe Rabbeinu is Min HaShemayim. So then you're all set. I mean, but the Rambam introduces Torah itself. So Torah itself, now it's circular. If I don't know Torah's Mishra Mayim, so what's stopping me from thinking about it? There's no Isser anymore. Yeah, you need another approach here. What's the other approach? And this is extremely important. It's an important Yesod over here. Okay? It's permitted to read, for instance, Plato's Republic, where he tries to work out another system. I mean, you can think of possibilities of working out other systems. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, as long as you know that this is the system that God gave us. I mean, you know what I mean? He is saying, the Rambam is saying that is the very thought that this guy is having. Okay, now if he, I mean, insofar as you're telling him not to think of that means that the thought already is there. Now once the thought is there, he say, don't think of that. But now you thought of it. Now, and according, if that is so, then there's no violation of thinking. So it's a circular kind of situation. I was in high school this week, so we're talking about these type of questions. So a kid asked me, he says that his question was that since everything is logical, so how could you accept Chias HaMesim? Says Chias HaMesim doesn't seem logical. So I told him, I said, there's nothing illogical about the Chias HaMesim. There's nothing illogical about it. As a matter of fact, with advances in science and DNA, I mean, you can almost still work it out. But, I mean, that's not to say that's the method. But whatever. There's nothing illogical about it. Okay? Yeah. Yeah. So he's saying yeah, but he said but it seems preposterous. And he's saying it seems preposterous. So I told him, I said, that is just another emotion. In other words, if you 300 years ago, if you told people that you could fill a plane with 500 people and take them from one end of the country to the other in a few hours, they'd say it's preposterous. 100 years ago, it's impossible, ridiculous. So there is a part of man that investigates and concludes based on a certain kind of reasoning. That kind of reasoning is, does it seem right or not? Okay? That's a kind of reasoning that really is not according to Torah reasoning. That's not, that kind of reasoning is not, we don't accept that kind of reasoning. The results, the conclusions from that kind of reasoning come from one source. And the source is easily identifiable. And that is that whatever you're used to, you have a certain feeling about. So if you're used to this type of thing, so you feel, well, that's within the realm of possibility. You see? But it's not based upon a logical analysis of whether the thing is possible or not. So 100 years ago, to tell somebody that, that you know, you can get into a ship and it's going to go into the sky and go across the country, they say, that's crazy. Why? Simply because it's not a part of their usual environment. Okay? And intuitively, they reject it. It's an intuitive rejection. Because it just doesn't seem right. It doesn't fit into what I'm used to. See? That kind of intuitive reasoning that Torah recognized, isolated it, identified it, and ossered it. Okay? You see, it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. That kind of reasoning we're not permitted to employ. Not permitted to employ. Because it's essentially a false method. Alright? It has nothing to do with a logical investigation, just as you could see. I mean, that's why the Goyim, I mean, Lahavdil, the church, always tries to create such a kind of thinking. It's a derech of Ovdei Avodah Zarah. That's why one scientist said that every advance in science was made in the teeth of the church. Why? Because they promote that kind of thinking. And people start thinking, no, things are simple, because they have their, you know, their whole religious, sphere, and this is the way things work, and they're always against change and progress and all this kind of thing. Stifling of the mind, because they realize that the mind is their worst enemy. So science really disproved, certainly in recent years, disproved this kind of thing. I mean, it's not possible. Why is it not possible? Because you're not used to it. Because you don't want to see what knowledge in the mind can accomplish. You're against that kind of an approach. That science has done a very good job in showing, demonstrating that this kind of thinking is not thinking. All right, it's just like saying that it's absurd to say that this table is not solid. There's spaces, more space in this table than solid. And there are little things in there revolving at tremendous rates of speed. I mean, it sounds absurd, but it's true. Okay, that type of thinking, it's an amazing thing. You see the immediateness of Yahadus in the fact that Yahadus right away identified that mode of thought and ossed it. That is not a correct mode of thought because it's not based on logic. It is intuition that stems from the emotion. We hold very highly of intuition, but there's an intuition that stems from logic and reasoning in the mind, and there's an intuition that stems from the emotion. Intuition from the mind, for us, is the greatest aspect of Adam, that's the Tzelem Elokim, and intuition from the emotion is the worst part of man, the most dangerous. That's the part that leads into Avodah Zarah. Because Avodah Zarah, I mean, you can imagine. We, because of this kind of intuition, it's difficult for us to imagine what the Torah accomplished. I mean, you have to realize the Torah 3,000 years ago, do you realize what the environment was 3,000 years ago, the mode of thought, the no science, nothing. I mean, basically, you're living in a world with the most primitive ideas prevail, not just prevail, I mean, the people are rooted in these ideas. And Yahadus comes along, I mean, yeah, this is a big battle now. I mean, to just uproot this type of thinking and say this is absurd and crazy. I mean, so Yahadus went so far as to identify the very mode of thought that's responsible for that type of thinking. That's what the Rambam, say. The Rambam says about in Avodas Kachovim. In the famous Rambam Perek Yud Aleph Tesvav, Udvar Melu Kulin Divrei Sheker V'Chozvahim V'Hem Shehitu Behen Ov Dekhov Makadmonu L'Goy HaRotzos Kidei Sheyinagu Acharein V'Ein Roy Li Yisrael Shehem Chachomim Mechukomim Li Moshech Pavolim Elu So he says, the whole, it's a whole derech ha-machshava, basically, all a derech ha-machshava that is antithetical to the derech of the Chachamim. And the most amazing thing that you see is that the Torah identified that mode of thought and ossered it, because it's not a mode of thought. Everyone thinks somehow that that's a type of thought, because you don't know. I mean, you know, a person doesn't know. I mean, that's the godless of Nevuah, is that Nevuah gives you insight that, I mean, a person can spend their whole life and never realize this, their whole life is wasted, because it's a circular process. Once you start thinking this is thinking, you keep going that way, you'll never see it. I mean, and a person spends his whole life wasting his time. So Yehudas immediately identified it and said that that type of thought is awesome. Insofar as investigation of Torah Misinai on a logical plane, that we encourage. That's the Ramban says is a mitzvah. But a person's going to sit back and going to think, did this miracle happen? It's preposterous to say that a mountain was Bar Ba'esh and Raphael and Choshech and Onon and Devorim and Devorim Yotzim. It sounds preposterous. That doesn't make sense. I don't think that ever happened. That is based on the fact that he's using his common sense, a type of common sense intuition. Common sense intuition is awesome. That's basically what the Rambam says. You notice the Rambam, that's what the Rambam says like this. He says, What he means here is that most people are not capable of true intellectual intuition. Okay, the Mimashech Kolalam Achamachshavos Liba means his intuition. Nimtza Machvas Kolalam Kula. Menei Kotzadaita. Ketzad, okay, then he says like this. He says, Upam Mivu, Upam Tamashmar, Upam Mena. The Eino Yodeya Hamidos She Yodin Bohen Ad She Yeda HaMS Al Burio. The Nimtza Yotze Lide Minus. Valin Zeis. He doesn't know the Midos. He's not a logician. And he's not a true scientific thinker, so he doesn't know how to analyze something properly, and he can't identify true intellect from emotional intuition. He doesn't know the difference. So therefore, the Torah had asus is trying to speculation. That speculation is asus. That's exactly what the Rambam means. Valin yizez yotashim, and all is a circle of afim chreinechem, ashatim zonim. Kloma, lo yimoshech kolachem ikem achadaitak tzara. That's why the Torah identifies as levavchem veinechem, meaning to say that it is basically rooted in the instinctual part of the human mind, which in man expresses itself in the emotional category. The emotional is really is a derivative of the instinctual. So basically what the Torah asked, Los Asurchal of Vavchem Achayinechem, in that pasuk, the Torah basically identified that type of thinking as nothing more than pure emotion. Okay? That's what the Rambam is saying. So the Torah identified it not just because it's something which is not true and harmful. I mean, of course, the Torah tells us things for our own benefit, you know, to keep us away from harmful things. But it's more important than that. It's in Hilchas Avodas Kochavim, because you have to understand that without this, the Yahadis would never exist, because you could not do battle against that whole powerful effect, social effect of the environment of that type of thinking. I mean, if the Torah wouldn't have identified this mode of thought, it wouldn't be Klal Yisrael. It would be impossible to have Klal Yisrael. I mean, it was necessary. The education process to identify these things clearly was something which was indispensable to creating Klal Yisrael. I mean, like I say, our intuition prevents us from seeing the flip side. Our intuition prevents us from seeing the Galus HaTorah. Because since we don't live in such an environment as they lived then, so we look at the Torah, you know, you do not see the greatness of this system, because you think, well, okay, a person, of course, the more the person sees the Galus HaTorah, it's unbelievable. But I'm talking about a regular person. A regular person. A person is not a real Talmud Chacham. Doesn't see, you know, the in-depth perfection of the intellectuality of Torah. I mean, the infinite Chachma. Regular person. Regular person does not see what Yehudas accomplished and how miraculous it was. Because you look in this environment, you say, okay, but that intuition, again, that intuition works against you over here, because if you study the environment with your mind by reading and studying the societies that existed at that time, Torah is virtually impossible without Torah Mashmaim. It's virtually impossible. I mean, I saw one of these upper kursim that you know, these upper kursim that upper kursim somehow or other, even they don't know that much, but they could sense from where what they're trying to deny and where the opposition is coming from. So I saw one of these upper kursim. The problem is historically, he's a historian, of course, and the problem is historically, how do you have these people that live in this environment? I mean, if you want to be honest, I mean, just a simple idea of denial of pagan gods, I mean, that alone is like virtually impossible. Denial of astrology. There isn't a society in the world at the time that denied astrology. I mean, in all their writings, they have some great persons born to a certain star at the time. I mean, you know, the Christians, the star in the sky, and this. Oh, that's easy to identify. Well, you have not the same. Moshe Ben is born to say anything about a star, nothing. I mean, the problem, unfortunately, is that people misunderstand certain midrashim that, and it takes away the whole godless of Torah. I mean, the Torah and the Pesukim, you'll never see it like that. To do accomplish such a task is virtually impossible. If you understand the human mind, you know it's impossible. But, and you understand the societies. But, so this Apicurus was faced with this kasha. So, he pulled a fast one. What do we see? If you want to give an answer that doesn't make any sense, so there's a way to go about it if you're clever. And the way to go about it is not to talk about this, but to start a general investigation and come to a certain conclusion there. Then when you come to this problem, you say, well, that emerges naturally from what we said. I mean, it's a clever method of pushing forth your answer when it doesn't make any sense. So this fellow wrote, he starts writing about the sociological progress and societal change and things, and he starts off, he says, there's so many variations in societies, and now where do these variations come from? Well, someone has to explain where all the varieties come from, and how come there are so many different cultures. So he says, you can't say it's due to situation. He's right, certain respect. Says, because situation goes through a certain thing. Situation, you have same situations, then still different cultures. And he goes through all the various factors that you might assemble to say what is the cause of the different cultures. And he says you can outrule each one. Okay. So now, once he's gotten to that far, he says, "So what is it? So what is responsible for variety in culture?" He says, "Responsible for variety in culture. There's only one possible answer." He says, the creative part of man. Creativity of man. Okay? Sounds nice, right? What's the build-up? The build-up, yes. Now comes the big question. How is it possible you have a culture existing among the most primitive cultures and they come out with the most sophisticated kind of religious ideas? It's a good question, right? Oh, but I just told you creativity of man. That's the answer. That's where they'll do it. Okay? So, you know what I'm referring to. Right? But the thing is, okay, nice trick, but it doesn't work. Because if you have, anyone has in-depth knowledge of psychology and knowledge of the societies at the time, I mean, you must have knowledge of psychology, otherwise you don't know, that's a big mistake in our society. A person's a sociologist. So any sociologist, he studies societies and culture. Does he know anything about man? No. He studies it. It's crazy. So you have to have an in-depth knowledge of psychology before you study sociology. Sociology is not a separate subject. Okay, these guys know nothing about psychology. They have no in-depth knowledge of psychology. And therefore, you could say almost anything. Yeah, I mean, you could say, where did this come from? It's impossible. Well, man thought of it. That's it. Boom. Anyone that knows anything about psychology and knows the cultures that existed at the time sociologically realize that this is nonsense and stupidity. It's virtually impossible for anybody to do that. If that were the case, then you'd have to have the greatest, not even the greatest genius. You see, genius doesn't work that way. Genius is a tool, a mechanism that is unbelievable, but when it's focused. In other words, when you have a focus, you have genius. The Greeks came along and they focused on mathematics. So they produced unbelievable works, unbelievable abstract systems. Okay, yeah, but why didn't they? Why couldn't they produce that 1,000 years ago? Not because the minds became so intelligent around the time of the 4th century. Okay, before BCE. Not because of that. Why? Because there was no. The minds weren't focusing 1,000 years before. The minds were focusing on the Greek gods. I mean, that was the main, the Greek religion, the pagan culture. It's the focus. The genius is a fantastic thing, but genius is worthless unless you can focus it. This is a kind of a phenomenon where you can have the greatest genius will become a greater genius in an Egyptian Chatumim. Chatum weren't stupid people. Chatumim, you can be sure, they were very intelligent. They were very intelligent minds. The smartest people. That was the greatest culture of the time, the most advanced, most powerful culture of the time, and you can be sure that the Chatumei Paro were really the most intelligent people in the world at the time. They weren't stupid people. But the focus was the problem. They were focused into a certain system. Sure, once you're in that system, you create all kinds of stuff. You know, but Yahadis, the greatness of Yahadis, is not so much the. So he wants to say the Jews were very, very. This fellow wants to say the Jews were very, very intelligent. I don't care how intelligent they were. First of all, it's not true, factually. The Jews, maybe you want to say Jews are more intelligent, fine. But this is like a quantum leap. I mean, this is ridiculous. Okay, this is light years. So that's not true, first of all. And secondly, it has nothing to do, really, when you understand the mind, with genius. It has to do with the ability to remove certain blind spots that exist in the brain due to the dynamics of the psyche. That's a different kind of a thing. You'll never get out of it. You keep on going. You got the biggest genius, you're just going to keep going. So the ability to do such a thing, I mean... The ability to do such a thing is only possible. It's only possible because of a person that has an understanding. I mean, you can see Torah Messina just from that alone. I mean, okay, but that's basically what Yahadis does over here is to identify the mode of thought that's responsible for this type of culture. And that mode of thought is, could it be, could it not be? That's the same mode of thought that really is anti-science. Exact same mode of thought that's against science. Okay? That was, as a matter of fact, that type of thinking, I mean, is even found in people that are not real scientists, but on the, you have all different types, everybody calls them scientists, but they're the real scientists, very few people in the world. And you have, like, different levels. But when the question with the A-bomb, were they able to make it? You know, a lot of that type of, read the history, I think, you see a lot of that type of reasoning creeps in. It's impossible, like that type of thing. It is impossible because it was like the most unbelievable thing that man ever created. Like, you're dealing with energies like amazing. I mean, never was it done. The fact that it was never done, if you read the history of how they constructed the bomb, you see there's a lot of that reasoning played a role. A lot of people said, nah, it can't be, you won't be able to do that, we never did such a thing. It's like, truth of the matter is, logically it was possible. You know, but it was very few people could just follow logic and just say it's because you're fighting against something which it doesn't seem could be done because it never was done, and there's always a feeling that this can't be accomplished. That's a very bad, by the way, that itself is in general has a lot of ramifications. That type of thinking has ramifications in an individual's personal life as well, because a lot of times I'll explain to a Chazal. As a Chazal, they never understood until very recently. Chazal says, "La'olam yargiz odom yetzatov al yetzara." Shenema rigzuv al techetu imu v'vadcham ashtavta im v'dom v'sala. I just didn't understand what Chazal means. Yargiz odom yetzatov. What does it mean? And when? I mean, it sounds nice, but what exactly is it? When Chazal says something, there's something new here. You have to be able to identify a certain quality that's not something we're speaking about before, not a general property, something new. I think personally that type of a mental conquest, I would say, rigzu valtachdu, is specifically in this area. What do I mean? See, a person, a lot of times, the reason why a person doesn't advance is because a person is more or less, a person finds himself in a rut, and they have this thought that they're going to stay here, they must stay in this rut forever. Or they can creep out very, very slowly. You see? A lot of times it's not true. A person, of course, has to advance slowly. Rapid advance usually is an indication that the person is in trouble. I mean, a person suddenly becomes very ascetic, very frum, very, you know, these type of things is usually psychological causes. But on a philosophical plane, it is not necessarily true that a person who is living in a certain kind of a mindset cannot, within a day, actually make serious changes with an advance in knowledge. Okay, it's because the causes of the system are the causes of the system, and the dynamics of the mind are causes. And if you can get the person can understand himself to a greater degree, one little advance can make a major change, rapid, instantaneous. You see, I mean, where do you find that? You find that the Chazal say that about you. It was Ramsey. Emesh hayazeh meruchot mei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meshukot semesuah v'toeva, v'ayom kor v'nechmad ol v'yedid. What is the emesh and hayom? What is Ramsey telling you about that? Does it say emesh? You say last year. Now, what he's telling you is that it's a yesod and yahadis, that it's possible for a person to make a conquest of the mind, a conquest of his tzelem alakim over his nefesh abahami in an instant. It's possible. That possible. If a person a person will deny that, why? Because a person, it never happened to me, I never experienced such a thing, it can't be. This is something that, this is the same type of thinking, same mode of thought. Because it's not familiar to you, you assume it cannot be done. Okay? But that type of thinking is very bad. That really is detrimental. Because if you think that way, once you're convinced that way, the energy is again the focus is the important thing, the focus is going to be in the wrong direction. You're not going to be able to use your intellectual energies in the right path that really can accomplish this feat. Okay? This feat. That's Yaakov Avinu with the wrestling with the Malach also. One night he was a changed man. Overnight. Okay? That's what Yahadis shows. I believe that the Chazal, Rigzu Valtechetu, is really, that's what they're referring to. Because what does it mean? It means, Stam a person, Lo Yagazon, Yetzetov al Yetzetov. Of course a person should do what's right. And of course a person should always follow the Yetzetov. I mean, it's not a Chiddush. When the Yetzetov's in line with, I'm not expanding, but you understand me. When the Yetzetov's in line with Chochmah. Okay. But, so what did Chazal say, Rigzu? I believe that this kind of a situation is where that comes in. That in order that requires a certain type of gvura to overcome that mentality which tells you the way things are, they can't change because that's the way they are. That kind of emotional intuition. Okay? That requires rigzu, because the person has to think, just a second, I'm convinced that this is the way it is, but what does my mind say? My mind says, no, it's not that way. It requires an extra kind of courage to be able to overcome. That's Yargizotam Yetzatov. To overcome, that's not true. Even though it's something which is familiar to me, it's not true. I have to follow my mind, and that requires a certain kind of effort on the part of the psyche in terms of the dynamics to allow that kind of thinking to rule the person. A person shouldn't allow that kind of thinking to rule his life. That's rigzu. That's a courageous. It means a person should be courageous and should summon all his energies against that kind of an idea. It's a unique mental experience to do that. You see, but of course, that's the whole of Yahadis, is that a person who lives according to Chochmas HaTorah has different experiences. The whole life is different because the internal experiences are different. The internal experiences are where man is at. Okay? So therefore, I believe that that's what Chazal say when they say Lolam Yargiz Adam Yetzatov al Yetzahara. It's specifically with regard to this kind of thinking, which Yehadas has identified and has prohibited. That kind of thinking. That's where a person needs tremendous courage. What is courage? Courage is when a person, when all the emotions are saying it can't happen, but the mind knows, just it's simple. Just do this. You see? Very difficult to do. Because to summon it, that requires a summoning of energy. And you have to, if you don't channel the energies at that time, you're not going to make it. The greatness of Yahadis is that it's a combination, as I always say, of philosophy and psychology. There's only one subject, philosophy and psychology. You can't separate the two. So over here, Yehadus gives insight into a person's nature and really identifies a certain process, which is probably one of the most important La'olam Yargas. What do I say, La'olam Yargas? Because this kind of a thing, you don't realize when you think into it, how often this kind of thinking really affects your life. This type of thought, it prevents a person from advancing, because he feels he's stuck and he can't, look, I'm doing this for 20 years, I can't do it, and there's no way. He doesn't realize it's not true. You look at it logically, tomorrow you could be a different person. It's possible. You just need the knowledge and the insight. There are causes over here. You gain the knowledge and the problem's gone. That's what Yehadus maintains. Okay, it is probably one of the greatest obstacles to a person's progress. You have to really, a person has to, you know, sit down sometimes and just recognize how pervasive a certain kind of a mental phenomenon is, and how strong an influence it is in a person's life. Yes. Whether or not, that's a good question. How do you know whether or not what your thoughts are stem from an intellectual intuition or an emotional intuition, okay? This happens to be one of the greatest difficulties that man has. And it is a difficulty in the sciences, difficulty in the sciences as well, especially in the modern science and in quantum physics, where things are very, very difficult to grasp according to the ordinary. The difficulty with quantum is the way quantum works out is all the things you're familiar with just don't have them here. So you don't have any kind of feelings, like sense, you know what I mean? Like at least Newton dealt with a solid, he dealt with a substance, things that are quantifiable, and you don't have to change these things, but now you're going into what those things are made up of, and the world that you're familiar with is gone. I mean, it's gone, basically. There's nothing, you have nowhere, there's no, the imaginative faculty has been removed completely. Okay? So the problem is that when you get into such a world, the question is, what kind of tools do you have, and how do you identify the difference between mental, intellectual intuition and between emotional intuition? All right? The one who identified, they have a big problem today, in a way. I mean, in other words, you have theories that you can't tell whether they're science or science fiction. And the scientists themselves will admit that. You don't know whether, is this science or science fiction? What world am I in? Okay? The one who identified that problem was the Rambam. The Rambam in the Morning Rambam identifies that problem. It's an amazing thing. He says it's very hard, and when you get into the world of real abstract thought, a lot of times it gets very difficult to distinguish between intellectual intuition and emotional intuition. That's right. You don't know. It doesn't seem right to you. Why? What is telling you it doesn't seem right? It's very hard to trace it back. Okay, with simple ideas, it's rather easy. Once a person is advanced, if he takes the Torah's tutelage seriously, and he works on himself, he's miles ahead of everybody else. You can't even compare. But in the upper spheres of abstract thought, even the greatest intellect reaches a point where he can't tell. The only clue we have, and that's what I think I said last week also, I mentioned to the guys that the most important thing you can do for your own advancing and learning, once you reach a certain level, is to give a shiur and to teach other people. I mean, that's the most important thing for your own development. But I suggested that you don't tackle every taisvis on a block. I said, go through a blot, be happy, you have one or two definitions at first. This is one, this is fine. The one thing you can't compromise is the quality of thought. Now, how do you know the quality of thought? So I mentioned, I believe, the quality of thought you can determine by the clarity with which the mind sees it. When a person studies the first proposition in Euclid, it's very clear to him that his intellect is working and exactly what the ideas are. Okay? You see? So a person, in my opinion, a person should concentrate very heavily, certainly at first, on ideas that are only perfectly clear to the mind. Okay? In order to have the faculty of the mind become something very familiar. There's another pasuk, that says, Emol HaChochma Chosiyat. What does that mean? What kind of a statement is this? I understand Shlomo HaMelech equates the Isha Tova with Torah. Okay, we understand. The Isha Ra with Znus and Stinks. Well, that's nice. But what is a Chosia? What does that mean? Okay. I think what it means is like this. It means it's a very significant concept. What it means is as follows. It means that, see, and it is a mistake a lot of people make, and in my opinion, the later philosophers, the most recent philosophers, all fell into this error. And that is, they were trying to look for a tool, logics. How do we know that something is logical? They just studied logics. It's a circular path, because the only thing that recognizes logic is your mind, and somewhere or other, you're not going to be able to prove logic of the logics. And these philosophers went into this, they followed this path, and it's a dead end. Because the only, you have to recognize that there is something in man, the bottom line is, there's something in man that recognizes a rational idea, a rational thought. Okay, that thing, the way for a person to develop is to not by cold logical rules. Of course, cold logical rules are very good and very important, because you have to, you know, make sure you're thinking straight. There's no question about that. But that's just the beginning. Is to know what thinking is. Think straight, and this is logical, that's not logical. That's important. That's just the beginning. After that, now you take those tools and you're starting to apply them in the world of Chachma. There's a certain sense of Chachma that you have to have. Chachma has a certain feeling, characteristics, a sense. It's like the Rav used to say, I'm saying this intuitively, halachically intuitively, but my intuition is halacha. That's because it means that his mind was familiar with all the different... It's hard to identify these things because they're not physical things, you see? But that's what Ramal said. What does it mean, achosia? It means, how does a person know his sister? Is it a logical kind of thing that he could prove it? No. He knows because he knows the characteristics. He sees her height, the way she looks, the way she talks, her emotions, her mind. It's a familiarity with the person. Okay? It means that it's not a logical deduction, it's a certain familiarity. It means, what you should do is involve yourself in Chachma to such an extent that it becomes like you can tell the characteristics of the Chachma, like the Rosh, his intuition is Roch. It means he knows the characteristics of thought and Torah. So when he hears something right away, it's like a person recognizes his sister. Recognize it by just seeing a fraction of the person. He knows right away those characteristics. Yeah, that's our. You see? That's exactly what the Shlomo Melech meant. He meant it's not enough for a person to know Chachma on a certain kind of a formal. Not enough to know it in a formal way. There are people that know Chachma in a formal way. Okay, anybody can know Chachma in a formal way if they study, they'll know. You study formally the rules of logic, and you know Chachma in a formal manner. That's important and it's good. But it's just the beginning. You have to know Chachma informally. Informally to know Chachma is from a familiarity with the process, and you become familiar, you recognize its attributes, its characteristics, you can feel it. Then a person really is that's when a person becomes a Chacham. But in order to do that, it means you have to engage in serious work in terms of the act and the process of thinking. And that's why I mentioned last time that it's important, it's extremely important, for a person to at first, certainly, not to engage in any kind of thinking. Where you see the mind gets confused, don't think you're going into a very abstract realm. Go back rather to simple, clear ideas. Make sure those ideas are clear. Because when they're clear, you know it's from the mind. There's a sense that it's from the mind. And it starts becoming vague. It could be, when a person's on a high level, it could be a very abstract, so you have to trace it down. But when a person is first starting, he's not ready for that kind of thing. So if he engages in that type of thinking most of the time, he's just, 90% of the time, he's just going to be wasting his time because he's not really in the intellectual faculty. So you have to learn to become familiar with your intellect. I mean, that's a process of yahadus. It means become familiar with your intellect so that you can recognize, you can sense it, just like you know your sister. It's an amazing process. If a person... this is important. I'll tell you what, it's important. Because again, it's not just important to understand the thing formally, logically. It's important to have a sense about the thing itself. To pursue it till it becomes recognizable to you, you know, as a part of you. So here a nice question is, but nevertheless, is it not true that 100 years ago, if somebody were to say to you that you could take a ship And that'll be the nearest analogy. Take a ship that's going to go up in the sky and is going to go across the country. You say that's absurd, right? I love the question because it is a perfect platform for the answer. Okay, what I mean is like this. This is exactly. I'll give you two different people, and I'll show you how they would react, and you'll see how pervasive this kind of thinking is. Precisely in that example. So 100 years ago, you go over to two different people. Go over to one person and say, look, I was thinking about a ship that's going to go to the sky, go from one side of the country to the other. What do you think about that? One person's reaction will be exactly like you said. That's ridiculous, impossible, it's preposterous, right? The person who was a real chacham would not be daunted at all. Now I'm taking what Yahadus is suggesting to the ultimate. I mean, the ultimate chacham. Okay, the ultimate chacham. The ultimate chacham, when he heard that, he would say to the person, he would say, how do you propose to do that? Without any kind of concern about the fact that it doesn't exist. Do you have any plan? And the person would say, yes, I have a logical way of doing it. The person would be undaunted and just say, well, let me see the logics of the plan. Okay, fine, that's it. That is an individual that's completely devoid of that kind of reasoning. But as you see, most of humanity, even today, is that kind of thinking, in spite of the advance of science, the type of thinking is still prevalent, because until you understand your mind, until you identify it, you're just getting kicked around. So, you know, you get kicked around this way, you move this way, you move that way, you move that way. So you make a little bit of progress just by the mere interaction with the environment, so to speak, okay, because it's a scientific, highly scientific, technological environment. But nevertheless, you're really not that far, because it's going to creep in. It's still there, and it's going to creep in the next problem. Your solution is going to be based on that kind of thinking. But really, the real mitzvah, to the utmost, is to uproot that kind of thinking altogether. So that if you would have, and the example is a perfect example, to the point where a man 100 years ago who was really thinking according to the way of Torah, if somebody would suggest it, he wouldn't bother to say, just do you have a logical way of doing this? That's all. And listen to the logic and say, well, you got it. That's it. Okay? Your example. The only reason the Chacham rejects something is because it counters his system of Chachma, not because he's not familiar with it. Okay? He knows that in the world of Chachma, the possibilities are endless. It's all logic. See, the Chacham's mind is focused on the causes and the results. That's his world. His world isn't what we have. We have certain things. There are millions of things you could have. Depends on the causes. If you can manipulate the cause a certain way, so then you have it. That's all. It's a world of Chachma. The universe works according to Chachma. So therefore, nothing's absurd intrinsically unless it goes against the rules of logic. Okay? So basically, from this you see the ones that really introduced and founded the scientific method, not just in terms of thinking, but in terms of the human personality, which, as I said before, is the most important aspect, because science only can advance with genius if it has a certain focus. The ones that did it is Yahadus. That's Yahadus did it in a way that no other culture, even the scientific culture, was ever able to accomplish. It's an amazing thing. But Yahadus really founded the most basic principles for the advancement of science in an unbelievable way by identifying certain states of the mind that are counter-scientific. And that's the Rambam. Those psukim really identified those things, those emotions that are counter-scientific. And it's amazing. The scientists weren't able to do it. The scientists are all the thing. The reason is very simple. Because they're focused in science, and they're not focused in psychology, and they're not focused in the knowledge of man. So they can make advances, and the great scientists do not think the wrong way, you see, because it's a natural, certain people have a natural proclivity, and they're in a certain environment, so that's what happened. But they were not able to come out with a statement about what is the most essential thing in science, and you identify which type of thinking is against science. They don't know. I mean, they're not into that. Yahadus really did more important work for science than science itself did. Yahadus, you know, we're not so impressed with results. Results are nice, you know, okay, you know, you flick the switch, but the main thing in Yahadus has always been the concepts. That's the difference in the concepts and the technology is true. It's actually a 6-to-1 ratio, because Sheishis Yom Tas Malach Techo is really technology. But Yom HaShvi is really ideas. That's the Shabbos is really ideas, Chachma. But even though it's a 6-to-1 ratio, that one day is more important than all six. What does the pasuk say? Zochas Yom HaShabbos Lekadsho Miyom Zochreyu Miyom. No, that's the one. But it says Zochas Yom HaShabbos Lekadsho. Shammai says every day Hayom Rishim Shabbos, Sheni Shabbos, Shlishi Shabbos. It says Shammai and Hillel. Okay, but every day you have to be thinking about Shabbos. Why? Because that's really that's the essence of the whole existence. The essence of, you don't measure existence by quantity, but by quality. Quality of Shabbos is incomparable with the quality of a chol. What? The two separate things. Yahadus never put down technology. Putting down technology is really like again, that's the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, put it down. We never put it down, the contrary. Pasuk says, that was the first mandate given to Adam HaRishon, which is the Kifshua. Wonderful thing, but you have to know where things belong. You have to know where things belong. That's Yahadus, the greatness of Yahadus is the perspective. Yeah, it's good, fine, it's wonderful, sure. But is that the essence of existence? No. The essence is Shabbos. Now, you see, in Sofana, asking about a plain balabas who's really an Amoritz and just keeps Shabbos because it's nice. He comes home, the family's there, makes kiddush, he's chomped, and he's nice, has a wine, he's nice. That type of personality. Okay? So that type of personality is definitely keeping the Torah based upon this emotional thing. But that Yahadus doesn't outlaw. Why? Because if the emotional intuition is at least attached to the correct system, so then of course it's good. What's the alternative? The emotional is going to the other. That's good. Okay? But you're not allowed to leave them like that. You know, leave him stranded like that. I mean, you have to try to get him to advance and teach him Torah Misina. Ramban says Torah Misina is a mitzvah semeraisa. So you have to teach him the ideas of Torah Misina and show him the intellect. It's not going to be counter to his, on the contrary. As a matter of fact, Plato mentions, he says it's important to train children on the emotional plane when they're young about the truth. Then when you show them the logical path, then they're doubly happy because they see, you know, that they're in the right, That's exactly right. But you should not shake up his whole sphere of function. You got to be careful. I mean, you know, that's why you got to be careful what you're doing over there. You don't take a person and pull out the carpet from under him, so to speak. I mean, his whole Yahadus is based on emotion. You say it's all crazy. He's going to be gone. Okay, you got to do it slowly. The Rambam says, the Rambam say the same type of lashon. Do it slowly. Not mistaken. Yeah. That's right. He says, maat maat. Very slowly. The Rambam has it exactly. You don't shake up a person's MO. You know what I mean? Modus operandi. They don't shake up his whole method of functioning. Okay? That's what the Rambam says. Rambam is exactly Lashon. It's precise. Exactly. Megalim olam roze ma'at ma'at. Slowly. Umagilin osun le'ingin ze benachas. Benachas. Slowly. Ad shi yasigu v'yedu v'yavdu me'ava. That's the Rambam. Okay? So that answers your question. The Rambam has the answer right there. I mean, to teach people certain areas with his logical investigation and his questions, you don't want to take them to that. I mean, that's, forget it. They're not equipped to handle it. What will happen over there is they're going to get caught on that other wheel, the emotional wheel, and they're going to be gone. That's it. You know, don't tell them these things. Certainly, something can stem from the emotions that could be correct logically. Okay? The mind can perceive it, but the way, as I said, the way that you could tell is the pasuk I mentioned before, Emor lachochma achosiyat. That's the way. The method's that pasuk. It means be so engaged in chochma and study it so carefully that you'll become familiar with its attributes, so to speak. You can recognize a sense. Oh, that's an idea. And once you do that, then you'll be able to differentiate. There's no other method to do that. I mean, you can't. An average person will not be able to do it. There's no way, because he doesn't have the tools, doesn't have the faculty. You have to develop this faculty so that you could fulfill that pasuk. If you don't develop faculty, it's impossible. That's the difference, basically, between a Talmud Chacham and an Amoritz. That's why Chazal looked at an Amoritz. It's like a totally different existence. Different human being. What does Chazal say?
You know, differentiate. And he's removed from that whole idea of that subjective kind of feeling towards Rishus and towards good. Okay. There's no question that a person can perfect himself on his own. I mean, that's people have done it. I mean, it's Avraham Avinu. But rare, yeah. Yeah, and certainly it would be like saying, could a person work out mathematics on his own? Yeah, it certainly could. I mean, he could, but you're not going to tell him he's going to be as great a mathematician as if he avails himself of all the instruction of mathematics that exists from the time of the Greeks to now. I mean, he's certainly losing out. I mean, but can he achieve a certain level? He's a brilliant guy, yeah. I mean, there's no question about it. But will he achieve the same level? No, he can't achieve the same level. I mean, it's not possible. So when you have if you have a book of instruction and you don't take the instruction, you may be able to attain a certain level, but certainly you're not going to attain the level that you would have with instruction. I mean, it's a dava pashut. But it doesn't mean you can't attain any level without it. Okay? But I think there is something here that is a serious, very serious matter. And that is that that it's a delicate matter, and that is that in a person striving for knowledge, it's extremely important the order in which he progresses. Very important. If a person progresses in the wrong order, they could be destroyed. If a person tries to tackle problems that are really out of reach for the individual on their level, they can really be destroyed philosophically. There's no question about it. See, that is a very, very interesting area, because people fail to see the truth many times, not because they just don't want to see the truth or they're not capable of seeing the truth. They are capable, but they don't follow a proper order. They try to tackle problems that they're not capable of tackling at the time. And because of that, they come to certain conclusions which are false, and then they're off the track. They're off the track. There is an important principle over there. I mean, there's an important principle, and there's a principle in Yehudas. And the principle is that you cannot go into it. That's the Rambam. That a person will say, is Torah min Hashamayim, Shema yes, Shema no. I mean, is there a Chayal HaMabo or not? Maybe yes, maybe no. That's what the Rambam's talking about. That is a very important area in Yadis. And that is where a person gets, if a person has a certain awareness, he knows that the mind is trying, wants very much. You see, the reason why there's a dangerous area is because you're involving the mind. Gaiva is one thing. You know, gaiva is bad, and gaiva is no doubt the hardest midah for a person to break, because it's really very strong in every human being, the person's gaiva. But gaiva, as strong as it is capable of being handled, at least in a way that it's mostly harmless in terms of the person's progress. Can be handled. Not impossible. It's difficult, but it's not impossible. But when you have the mind combining with the emotion of a person's false assessment, over-evaluation of themselves, then it becomes very difficult. Because the person doesn't recognize, it's very hard for the person to differentiate between the emotional overestimation of the self and the desire of the intellect to know, which is a legitimate thing. You see? So you come into an area where you have a combination, and it becomes very, very difficult for a person to see exactly what's going on and to and to make a proper decision. All right? And a person will try to tackle certain areas of understanding Yahadis. I'm not talking about Marna Vuchim areas. I'm talking about any lesser areas. A person will try to tackle certain areas before they're equipped to do so, before they have the knowledge to do so, they will definitely go off the path. There's no question about it. All right? I know, I may have mentioned before, I know a fellow that was associated with the yeshiva and took a course in comparative religion and became an apikaris. And I was speaking to him in my house. I mean, I couldn't get him back. I mean, he thought, he was convinced that the knowledge of comparative religion shows that the Torah is really nothing. He was convinced, and he started showing me his rayas, you know, and I tried to show him answers. But he really was not on the level of understanding of halacha to be able to know what I was talking about. I mean, he just wasn't on that level. So therefore, he dismissed what I said, and he made his judgment based upon the information that he had. And based upon the information that he had, the Torah is no different, chalilah, I mean, than the other nonsense. I mean, that's what he was saying. But I mean, it was an unfortunate situation. Very unfortunate. It was almost like a death sentence. So the fellow went off the track. Okay. Why? Because he went into an area that he was not ready for. Was not ready. His decision that he made was perfectly rational, based upon the information that he had. And his desire to know that area was very strong, because he wanted to know his Torah true or not. Now, what could be more important than that? Okay? But he made a mistake in the progression of his knowledge. He skipped a step. He didn't have enough of a knowledge of halacha to be able to go into this area. Had he had the knowledge, he would come to the exact opposite conclusion. But he didn't have the knowledge. And when I was trying to explain to him, I couldn't explain to him fast enough, because, you know, knowledge is something which you has to be rooted in your mind as a reality. And for somebody to just give over results or final results, it doesn't affect the mind, because the mind has no place to put it. The area has to be developed in the mind where it belongs, you know what I mean, so to speak. And a person that's not developed, he just, it's like extraneous information. Nah, I don't think that's so. And boom, boom, that was it. So it's extremely, this is a good example. But this example is only an example because there are many, many different ways and areas that a person can get lost in. I mean, I remember one time a fellow came to the yeshiva, a young fellow, and he was involved in Spinoza's ideas of the infinite. I mean, wasn't ready for this. Wasn't ready for the. I mean, you can't learn the tesis yet. You're dealing with these kind of things. I mean, a person has to know. A person has to know his limitations. I mean, that's really what Yahada says. That's the idea of lo surcha lavchayinecha. It means a person will sit down and say, he said, first here's about Torah. Well, let me see. Do I think my marasina really happened? Sounds strange. Nah, probably didn't happen. You know? Or no, they'll say, yeah, it must have happened. I mean, but the point is, either way he's going, he's not operating. He doesn't have the equipment, the tools to work with. Okay, and the nature of a person is a very subtle kind of a dilemma. But the fact is that a person's ego always joins with his desire for knowledge in a way that the mind doesn't see the ego trend, and the person takes a problem that's just, they're not ready for that problem yet. And it's total destruction. And it's a horrible situation. The person is totally destroyed. And had they progressed normally, they would have come to the opposite conclusion, but they didn't. That is probably, I mean, in this life, I mean, it's just like Plato, I think. I think Socrates gave the marshal, which is true. It's like we're like a ship in the ocean, with one rudder. And the thing is, you're trying to steer your course there. You're trying to steer, it's a shaky course, very, difficult. And, you have to use every bit of rationality that you have. I mean, otherwise you're not going to make it. And the course is treacherous because you have emotions and you have... You have intellect, and you want to know. A person wants to know, like this fellow. He wanted to know. Is the Torah true? And of course, he wanted to know. I mean, who wouldn't want to know? But he wasn't ready to tackle that problem yet. He wasn't ready. Okay, so I would say that in this area, I think there's one rule, and maybe that answers your question and the question that was mentioned before. And there's a rule, I think, which is very good. Not just the rule which is good in terms of this area, which is, of course, the most important area, but it's also good in terms of learning in general. Anything which is good in terms of, it's good in terms of methodology and learning also. And that is that a person should realize, first of all, that there is a vast amount of knowledge here, and a person should realize that the knowledge that he has today is really like a tipa b'yam as to what the real knowledge is. Okay, it's just surface. You have to have that kind of an attitude towards your knowledge. But what a person should try to do is just to work on ideas that are clear to the mind. Don't work in areas. If an area has that vagueness, like you were mentioning before, so I'm getting back to that, because I think that was really a question, you know what I mean? A person should try to stick to areas where the mind's apprehension is clear, and to avoid areas where the apprehension, as soon as the person senses that vagueness that you were discussing before, I say what it means is the person should retreat and go back and expand in the area of solid ideas and solid knowledge according to the framework of Torah. And that's really the concept of Lo Surach L'Vavach Einecha. It means don't go outside the borders. Work within the borders on the ideas that are really clear to you, and expand your knowledge with the addition of clear ideas. And through that method, you'll see that eventually you'll be able to resolve the questions that you started out with. But if you try to tackle a lot of those questions and you see the mind is getting vague, you must withdraw. You've got to retreat. It's always better to be on that side of retreating, even at the expense of maybe missing an idea, okay, than to take the chance of going over the border and being destroyed. I mean, that's the mistake, usually the mistake that philosophers make in when they come to false conclusions, is they jump into something which they simply don't have the groundwork clear. The foundation is not solid, and they're trying to move up, to build on top of a shaky foundation. That's it. The shaky foundation can collapse. And I think if there is a guideline that we could establish here, and I think it's an extremely important one, and that guideline is you're better to err on the safe side, because there are plenty of clear ideas you can gain, plenty, and you're never going to be harmed by gaining another clear idea. Whereas if you start going into the area that you're not ready for, and that's why I said before, the Maran Devuchim, I do not think, is for guys on this level, because I don't think guys in Shiva are ready for it. It's a different kind of a thing. The Maran Devuchim really is, in my opinion, is not something that should be that could be learned like any other sefer. It's something where a person, the Rambam always talks about in the Maran Devuchim, about a certain natural, he says to his Talmud, I didn't want you to give you these ideas, I wanted them to develop in you naturally. It means a person will sense at a certain point, if he makes progress in these areas, he'll start to, certain things will, you know, he has to have certain kind of familiarity with it, but he'll start to see that an area is suddenly opening up, and then he'll see why that area opens up, and from where, and at what point, then he's ready for it. But just because a person wants to know what a malach is, and a person wants to know, Sisrei Torah, because he's curious about it, that is not, it's not a guideline. It's not a guideline. I mean, it's not a good idea. It's not a good idea. It's not going to help the person in any way. It can only be extremely, extremely harmful. I mean, the Rambam, I think, if one thing he makes clear in the Mora is the danger of going to these areas when it's not the natural move for your mind. The natural move means where you see the whole foundation and suddenly you realize, oh, that's what the Rambam is talking about in the Mora. Because you are at that level, that problem opens up for you in your frame of reference, in your frame of knowledge. Then you're ready for it. And you know when that, you know, a person knows when that happens. If it's just he's trying to pursue certain things, he wants to, you know, he wants to know what's all about, what's this, what's that. Yeah, everybody wants to know all these things. I mean, that, then it's just, then they're just being guided by the ego and not, by the mind. I don't mean the mind is not involved. The mind is involved and the mind really wants to know, but, that too must be restrained. That too must be restrained. Okay? I'm not condemning the person, I'm saying they're, but it's a serious error. It's a very serious error. The difficulty in man always is to retreat and to deal with the fundamentals and the basics. Of course, it's unappealing. You know, it doesn't sound like, you know, everybody wants to know big things. You know, they want to know the areas that people would love to know. I mean, that's what they're attracted to. But the truth of the matter is that that is not the right approach. The right approach is to stick to the one solid idea. From what Chazal say? Chazal say that the Torah in the time of Shlomo HaMelech was like a deep well, and no one could get to it. Until Shlomo HaMelech came along and he took one string and attached it to another and to another, and he took it and he attached it to the pail and he lowered it into the well and he pulled out the water. So what does it mean? It means that he showed the people one step. You want to get the water in the well, you can look over there all you want and you can have the greatest desire, but it's inaccessible. But he showed them the way to make it accessible is not one long string, but one piece and then another, and then another idea, and all of a sudden it opens up. But it must be that kind of a progression, a natural progression. Can't be just a leap for the water in the well, the person drowned. Yes. You see, his mistake, going back to that specific case, I mean, that's why the concept of Amunas Chachamim is extremely important. I mean, it means to say that a person thinks that the Torah is just a simple matter, you know, I mean, these were Chachmei Yisrael, the greatest minds in the world ever, that spent their lives in this system. It cannot be, I mean, by any kind of rational evaluation, it can't be a simple matter here. I mean, that's impossible. So, if a person thinks that, you know, that he feels that he's in a position to judge Yahadus before he's gone through an unbelievable experience of in-depth knowledge, and before certain things become clear to him that he never imagined could become clear, which means the experience of knowledge of Torah, if he hasn't had that and he thinks he's going to make a judgment about Yahadus, he's crazy. He's crazy. He's just, it's like a person trying to judge relativity without even studying science. I mean, you read a book, read a digest article on it, and say, oh, he was right or not. I mean, that's what it's an irrationality. But I say what propels the person is a legitimate part of his personality, which is a desire to know. And that's always unfortunate, because when you have a legitimate part that's involved, it's hard to see the flaw. The other person is just involved in the world of emotions, so he sees he's haughty or he's egoistic. So it's easy because it's just an emotion, okay? But where you have a legitimate part of the personality involved, it's very difficult to see the flaw because it's a legitimate thing. You can always ascribe it to the legitimate part of the person, which is a desire for knowledge. What could be more legitimate than that? Okay? That's where it's very dangerous. That's where it's very dangerous. But the idea of the vagueness of the person that's successful is really successful because of Anivis. That's one thing, that Anivis, that's what Chazal stress Anivis. Because Anivis is really the key. Where a person realizes that if a person has the Midas HaNava, what does the Pasuk say? How does the Pasuk describe Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu, that's what. Vayaster Moshe Panov, ki yore mehabit el olokim. It means that he had an opportunity to gain certain ideas, but what did he do? He hit his face. He said he's not ready for it. So that was... That is considered that was considered. What does Chazal say? Chazal say b'schar v'yasta Moshe panav. He was zocha to koronar panim. That was the koronar panim was a manifestation of that need of Moshe Rabbeinu. Why was that need of Moshe Rabbeinu chosen to be manifested through his appearance over every other midah? Basically, I mean, it was the one thing, the koronar panim. Was something which is the only thing that I, insofar as Moshe's physical self, that was changed. I mean, nothing else. So why was that chosen
to be revealed to Klal Yisrael? Apparently, because that's really the most important message that Klal Yisrael could receive. That Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest human being, his godless was Vayasta Moshe Panav, that he recognized, this is, I'm not ready for that. Not ready, even though God wants to reveal the knowledge to him, he turned away, refused. That's the, excuse me? I mean, that was, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah up to that point. So that was Dvar Hashem. It was a Dvar Hashem. And Dvar Hashem was Vayasta Moshe Panav, and Moshe Rabbeinu explained to them that that's the, that God revealed to him that that's why he was Zochot to Karna upon him. So they understood the idea. But that was the most important idea. And that's where the people fail. People fail because they lack that midah. That's something which is extremely important. And if you don't, if a person doesn't master this, they're in really in the greatest danger. And it's not just with regard to metaphysics. It's with regard to a lot of other things too. With regard to psychological knowledge, with regard to a lot of areas in life. The only reason I emphasize metaphysics and knowledge, because there a person comes up with curse, is lost, and he's gone. Okay, you can't bring him back. But kol ba'el lo yeshuvan, the pasuk says. The person that goes on top of curse, he's not coming back anymore, he's gone. So that's why it's the most important. But really, the truth of the matter is that this thing that we're talking about has importance with regard to any kind of knowledge, with regard to knowledge of psychology, with regard to knowledge of midos, with regard to any area. If a person is not cautious and goes out of the realm of where their mind, there is one guide you have, and that is when the mind sees the idea clearly, then you know you're on safe grounds. I mean, that's one thing you do have. It's not like, it's not like you just have to kind of figure out your emotions, which so many times is almost impossible, But there is something solid, concrete, that you could use as a guide, as a tool. And that is when the mind sees the idea clear. I always tell a guy, when guys start giving shiurim, and you know how much I hold from guys giving shiurim, because it's really the most important thing you can do for your own development. But I always say, guys giving a shiur, don't try to give a shiur every tesis, every rishon, everything. Don't try to do that. You're not ready for that. It's very nice. There's nothing wrong with going through a blot and defining in a blot five or six definitions. You get a tesis here, you get a havmina here, go on here. Just make sure that what you do is clear. That's the important thing. Better off with five or six clear ideas on a blot than going into a tesis and the rishonim and this and kind of all confused mess and you don't know what you're talking about. I mean, you're going beyond your abilities. You're not going to gain anything that way. You know what I'm saying? The same idea. Stick to the clear idea. And you'll see that if you progress naturally, eventually you'll be able to take more difficult problems and you'll be able to go into almost every tesis. I mean, But people have this kind of they want to feel a sense of like completeness, like I went through this blot and I took we said something on every tesis. Nice, better off a lot of times not saying something. You go through a blot and you have a few definitions, nice clear ideas. What's wrong with that? It's important. This kind of approach is important in every area you take, not just with regard to the danger of upper courses and metaphysical speculation. It's important with regard to limit also. The clear idea is the only thing that we have that can guide us. When your mind sees something clearly, it knows it. Like the Rambam says. Avraham Avinu, when he took Yitzchak to the Akedah, he knew clearly it was Nevuah. Just like a person's mind knows an idea. Okay? That's the only thing we have to go by. All right. Yes. That's the proper level. Exactly. The proper level is to be able to enjoy the questions. That's also wonderful. The reason why people can't enjoy it is you don't have that ego satisfaction of the solution. Okay, solution. But in terms of enjoyment of the mind, you should be able to enjoy the questions. Enjoy the questions. What if you have a good kasha and you don't have an answer? So, Gemara also has good kasha and an answer. There's a certain beauty to the question. Okay? All right. Well, what's the benefit of the Torah? The benefit of the Torah is that a person can retreat. In other words, if you don't have a system of Torah, you can't retreat. You don't know where to retreat to. You know what I mean? How do you know what to do? You don't know which idea is right and which isn't. So how are you going to live your life? The Torah gives you the final thing. You have enough over here. You can retreat into the system. Okay? So you don't know. You retreat. That's it. In philosophical questions, you don't need a memory for that. I mean, your mind's going to remember, they're there all the time. You know what I what I mean? And then when they open up, when the solutions are clear, you'll know it.